You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with my co-host, David Ramil, and joining us on the phone is Curtis Birch, host of Locked On Kentucky, and he's here to talk to us about the Miami Heat's newest player, Tyler Hero. They take him at 13 in the NBA draft last week. We've talked a lot about Hero and his strengths and weaknesses, and we've scouted him before, and we're hearing a lot more about what we could expect from him, but we've seen a lot of players leave that Kentucky program in the past and thrive in expanded roles in the NBA. Curtis, do you think that that could be the case with Hero?
Yeah, I think his skill set is one that the NBA is now looking for. Being able to shoot the ball is something that's so valuable across the league, and he's able to do that. And plus, when you throw on top of that the work ethic that he obviously has, I think that those are two components, you know, that'll fit in the NBA overall. And then specifically, the way I understand it down there with the culture that he'd have, I think that that will be a pretty much a match made in heaven.
He was a 35% three-point shooter. You mentioned the shooting. That 35% isn't elite. It's not that great, but his free throw percentages are pretty high. What do you think? Do you think he has that NBA range, not just average, but do you think he could be an elite three-point shooter for this team?
I think it's a possibility, because the reason that the way I understand his percentage dipped early on in the season and he started making more as the year went on is once he got to Kentucky, they played with his shot a little bit, nothing form-wise, but more speed-wise. They wanted him to get his shot off quicker because going from high school to college, he was facing a lot better athletes, guys that were quicker, taller, longer, so he wouldn't have as much time to kind of set up and release. And by the end of the year, he was back to being the knockdown shooter that everybody thought he would be. So I think the free throw percentage is an indicator that he can shoot it really well. And I think the number, while not super high percentage-wise, is more of a fact that he was adjusting to a new level of basketball, more than that there's something wrong with his shot.
So you kind of bring up something else there. I think that's a concern for a lot of Heat fans is that he doesn't necessarily, or at least it didn't jump off the page as far as in his first year at Kentucky. He doesn't necessarily possess elite athleticism, and he was facing tougher level of competition and a higher level of athleticism. Do you think he has the kind of athleticism that can translate to the next level in the NBA?
I think he has enough. He's a guy that's willing to learn and willing to put in work. So he's going to max out all of his athletic ability. But I'm sure you guys have discussed the numbers. He's got the negative wingspan,
right,
which I think, you know, in theory is kind of a red flag to a lot of people. But I think the thing he has going for him is that he is tall. I mean, you know, I forget exactly what it was, 6'5", 6'6", legit. So, yeah, so that's a situation where if he was a 6'2", 6'3", guard, that would be a huge red flag. But where he does have that little bit of height, the wingspan, it isn't like a doubly bad feature. I think he's probably going to be a negative defender in a lot of instances. He's going to be eventually learn all the right positions and do everything he can. But there are some things that he's just not going to be capable of doing. The one thing he does have going for him is that he tries really hard, and that's something that the coaches at Kentucky really loved pointing out. He was a capable college defender, and they weren't worried about putting him on anybody specifically, but there was a couple times where he would just, you know, get beat by quicker, faster guards. And obviously they're going to be even more quicker and faster on the NBA level. So that's something that he's just going to have to, you know, try to game the system in a little bit and learn the little tips and tricks that you learn at the next level. Maybe link up with some vets and try to just play really good positional defense.
Well, I think that's in combination with a wingspan and the lack of elite athleticism. I think you kind of hit it as far as one of the biggest concerns about him as a defender is that he is going to get burned. And in the NBA, so much of defense, particularly at the wing position, which he'll be playing, is about switching and being able to guard a number of positions. So you won't be a negative defender if you have to switch onto a smaller guard or to a bigger, you know, wing or forward. do you think, or did Kentucky ever put him in situations where he had to do a lot of switching, or did you, do you think that projecting forward that he can or make those adjustments, or is it going to require, like you said, kind of having to learn the tricks to compensate for his lack of athleticism?
I think he was put in a lot of different situations defensively, you know, at Kentucky. It didn't seem like they did a ton of switching, but that seemed to be more about worrying about their big guys more than their guards. I'm sure Hero was a concern, but the rest of the guys on the wing, they were pretty comfortable, you know, putting on defenders. When he was in one-on-one situations, he could hold his own with some players. I just think that the thing that he's got going for him, and I guess I'll just circle back to it, is he's going to be willing to put in effort. And you know, it's probably a cliche, and we often joked, you know, being a white Kentucky kid, everybody, as soon as he got to campus, oh, that's Rex Chapman. Well, he really wasn't anything like that. You know, he's a completely different guy. But it's a situation where I think, you know, people are going to be kind of thinking that it's from a player's perspective, possibly, that it's easier to get around him than it will be. They'll still probably be able to do it because they will just be a little bit quicker than him. But it's not going to be because there is any lack of effort on his part.
I personally think that we tend to overvalue things in analysis, and not that athleticism is being overvalued. It's really important. But when you see somebody that is as slow as Tyler Hero, and he's slow, and there's, you know, you mentioned the negative wingspan. Those are definitely concerns. I don't think that automatically is going to make him a bad defender. I think you hit it on the head. If you work really hard, that makes up for a lot of stuff, especially on the defensive end, because that's, if you're just trying to get in front of the guy, you know, and making sure that you're switching and making sure that you're, you know, doing the right reads and being in the right position, that accounts for a lot of things. And then you can also do things like, you know, read passing lanes and get steals, so you don't have to necessarily worry about being in front of the guy or drawing charges and creating turnovers in that kind of way. I think Hero's going to be able to do that. Again, he's not going to be an elite defender, I don't think, by any means. But by working really hard, I think you can become an average defender. And if you're able to bring a lot on the offensive end, that's really good. Even if you're a slightly below average defender, you just can't be terrible. You can't be Isaiah Thomas on that end if you're not being Isaiah Thomas at like an MVP type level that one year in Boston. Other than that, you don't really have an impact. I want to talk about the offensive end, though, because there's been a lot of comparisons to Devin Booker. What do you think about those comparisons to Devin Booker? You saw both of them up close and in person.
Yeah, I mean, that. Well, that was kind of his role model. You know,
it's his favorite player. Guy.
Yeah, without a doubt. And if I'm remembering correctly, I think UK basketball does this thing, and I don't know how familiar you guys are with college basketball recruiting, but basically, you know, you can't mention a guy specifically when he commits, but now there's loopholes in the rules where team accounts will like do these nice little montages and kind of like, you know, wink at people that, hey, we just got this kid's commitment. It's awesome. And what UK would end up doing this past season is they had like a little 5-year-old kid that they sat in front of this TV, and then they would project, you know, highlights of fill in the blank player. And when Tyler Hero committed, they played Devin Booker highlights in front of this kid, and it was kind of like Tyler Hero wants to grow up and be Devin Booker. Now he's, you know, taking the next step, coming to Kentucky and doing that. I don't think that his ceiling is Devin Booker level, but in all honesty, I didn't think Devin Booker had Devin Booker's ceiling. So it is tough to judge. I will say that Devin Booker is probably why we didn't completely understand what Devin Booker could be, because of the log jam that was there in Booker's single season at Kentucky. Hero got a ton of minutes, you know, and it just didn't – he had a lot of breakout games, but there were some ebbs and flows, and I think he's going to be a good player, but I don't think he's that good. I think he's, you know, possibly a starter, but he's not, you know, all-star level guy.
Well, that's kind of curious because, you know, obviously I think Miami, their most glaring need, I'd say, is probably a go-to scorer. And he seems like he'll probably fill more of a complementary position, you know, especially offensively. And, you know, defensively, he'll be a work in progress. But one of the things that we kind of noticed from him is that he certainly does possess a certain amount of swagger and confidence. Do you think that kind of confidence is realistic? I mean, is it genuine? Or is it just kind of overcompensating? And at the same time, do you think maybe he could eventually say, you know what, this team does need me to be a improved scorer, and maybe he does have that other level to reach, especially offensively, because he can score from all three levels. So he's a competent enough scorer, but do you think he has the kind of willpower to kind of say, you know what, I can be this team's go-to scorer?
Yeah, I think he probably believes in himself more than anybody else, and okay. His confidence, I don't think that is at all fake. I think his path to Kentucky and then obviously to the NBA is one. A lot of people talk about haters and doubters, and sometimes that's kind of bluster, but Tyler Hero did face it to a certain extent even before he got to UK. He's from Wisconsin, I'm sure, as you guys know, had committed to Wisconsin, then decommitted and came to Kentucky, and he spent I think it was the second half of his high school season, going around to opposing schools around the state of Wisconsin and basically getting booed constantly. He was harassed. He's been very open talking about this, harassed on social media to a certain extent. He was mocked by Wisconsin fans saying, have fun at Kentucky. You'll get buried on the bench. You'll never get any minutes. And he kind of used that as fire to put in extra work. And he ultimately proved them all wrong. He wasn't the highest rated guy coming into Kentucky. And if you took a poll of people before the season started, I don't think many would have predicted that Tyler Hero would have been the first Kentucky freshman drafted in the NBA draft this year. They probably would have put EJ Montgomery, Keldon Johnson, and most likely even Ashton Hagans before him. All those guys came in with much stronger pro reps, but he was able to show what he was able to do on the court and ultimately prove people wrong. And so the confidence from within Tyler Hero is something that isn't fake at all. And I think the people that doubt him to a certain extent will kind of just motivate him. But, his confidence shines through in so many different facets. I mean, the fashion, I'm sure you guys discussed it, is just it was funny to us all year because he would come out in the most ridiculous outfits for post-game interviews, like floral print shirts. And he was just like, yeah, this is me. And to kind of not have the mindset that I don't care what other people think of me, I'm going to be myself. It's something that a lot of times just teenagers and young people in general struggle with. So for him to have that kind of already that mindset, I think is really going to help him take a couple more steps forward.
And look, he's going to need to fill in for Dwayne Wade in more than one way. And one of those could be just being a fashion forward presence in that locker room. It's very important. We know that Wade was on the forefront of not wearing socks with his shoes and suits and capri pants and stuff like that. So Tyler Hero has got a very important role to play in the future. I want to specifically with his ball handling, he didn't get a lot of opportunities to run the offense at Kentucky. It's not his position. He's not a point guard, but the ball did swung to him. There was a small sample of pick and roll stats. There's a number floating out there. It's like 98th percentile in pick and roll ball carrier situations. Favorable stats for him, but again, small sample size. What did the eye test tell you when you watched him in those few instances? Do you think, again, he's not going to be a point guard at the NBA level, but even saying that you need a point guard at the NBA level is sort of a more of a traditional kind of way of viewing all five positions. But the Heat like to swing and get guys in different positions. They use a lot of ball screens. He will have opportunities at the NBA level to run pick and rolls and try to score in those type of situations. What did the eye test tell you? Can he do that?
Yeah, I think that's something that he probably will be able to do. And it's something that he wasn't able to do in his time at Kentucky much because, Calipari's trying to just blend a team together. So he's not able to work on individual stuff with different guys. The amount of sets that are in are limited, and they just want to do certain things that they know work. I heard from a lot of Kentucky fans that are also kind of NBA that follow along with like the NBA draft and NBA scene as well, that they wish they would have been able to run the offense through Hero a little bit more because they think that would have, diversified Kentucky's offense, opened some more things up. So there was some belief from people who follow the Kentucky program that would have been something that they should have done, that's something that's an opportunity that they missed because he proved that he was capable of it. But I feel like, Calipari, and I think this was probably ultimately the right move, was just trying to stick with what he knew worked, and having Hero as a shooter was a lot safer bet than letting him try to figure things out by running offense when he was already doing that with the point guard he had in Ashton Hagen. So it's kind of tough to get both guys' feels for the game So he ultimately just, you know, chose the traditional point guard, but he always seemed very comfortable with the ball in his hands, and it's never out of place. You know, sometimes that are guys that are just spot up guys. When he would create, it didn't seem awkward or anything along those lines.
You know, I think we've gotten a lot of information here about Tyler, but I'm kind of curious, you know, obviously he's got a personality, he's got a little bit of a history and a good story there. Is there anything that you think from a media perspective that we should know, you know, covering Tyler's career moving forward? I know you only had the 1 year in Kentucky, but is there anything that kind of comes across or anything that you might have seen about him in that 1 year that Heat fans would want to know?
Well, I mean, his nickname is incredible. He goes by Boy Wonder.
I think that was
in his suit. I only saw a couple pictures of it, but I think it was in the line.
There was a lot going on in that suit. I don't think anybody was noticing any kind of specific handwriting or lettering.
Yeah.
Too, so.
Yeah, and I think I only noticed it because I was aware of it. And I don't even know exactly the whole origin of that nickname, but a lot of his teammates would call him that. And he's a guy that he likes to have fun. If you can kind of, you just got to break through a little bit. It's not that, and it's just the typical getting used to talking to people, but he's got a great personality. He's really fun. His family is pretty entertaining as well. He's got two little brothers, and I think they're like around 12 and 8 or something along those lines. And John Calipari calls them Tyler Hero's mini-me's because they're basically the same. Like, they're just little versions of him. They're hilarious. If he ever has family around and you see him, you'll get a kick out of them. I'll harken back to when I was first covering Hero at Kentucky. They took a preseason trip to the Bahamas. And as we were leaving the island, when they'd wrapped that up, you know, there's one, you know, airport that everybody was leaving out of. And so the players and all the players' families were in the same airport. And I was watching, and one of his little brothers' carry-on was a basketball. And so it's a family that just loves basketball. I think that that's kind of the thing that, you know, him as a person, you could probably get to know, is that he really, truly loves basketball. And it's something that, you know, he is just fully invested in.
Curtis, thanks so much. I think that was a lot of really good information about Tyler Hero, and he's going to fit in that locker room. Pat Riley came out at the end of the season and said, and one of the things he said in his end of season press conference was they needed to tighten the screws on the culture, and I don't know that Tyler Hero is the answer to whatever the screw tightening needed to be, but he's at least going to fit in that locker room. His personality, it sounds, is going to blend in really well with guys like Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson and Bam Adebayo. I think they're all, you know, obviously they're all young, similar in age, and kind of have that kind of similar personality. They like to have fun. They like to do that kind of stuff. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Bam because he obviously went to Kentucky. What are your thoughts having watched Bam now 2 years in the NBA after watching him in Kentucky? What do you think about his overall game and how it's developed so far?
I think it's been really impressive to kind of see his progression to a certain extent. I mean, he was such an unbelievable athlete, and that was another kind of situation where he was just in 1 year at Kentucky. I don't think we got to see him fully realizing everything that he was capable of doing. I think that he's at a spot where he seems to be kind of finding a role and is ready to take off. And he's another guy that just loves to put in work. I mean, you guys know his story. You know, his mom, I think at one point didn't have a car because they didn't have enough money, and he talks about how she entered him in a camp instead of paying, I think it was an electricity bill, just crazy stuff. And his smile is one that's super. Mm-hmm. It's just very contagious, and he's a really great player. I mean, he's, to a certain extent, he's a highlight reel, but it's, you know, there's more to his game than just the highlight. He's fun to watch, and I think his defense is what being able to, as we were talking earlier, maybe getting on those switches a little bit and stepping up that portion of his game is something that I think has really, expanded his value.
That's Curtis Birch. He's the host of Locked On Kentucky. We appreciate him coming on. Thanks for joining us, Curtis.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow with a mailbag. Thanks for listening.